Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that's our number. We'd love to hear from you. What a gruesome third quarter. Not a good first quarter, not a good second quarter, and a rough third quarter. And of course, the headlines are screaming and yelling, it's never been this bad since, whatever, 08. Or was it, 1916 or whatever. They find whatever kinds of data to utilize an arbitrary calendar in a way that portrays doom and gloom. And I'm not here to tell you it's not doom and gloom. That's not the point. The point is statistics are our way of trying to prove something that's not provable. It's not knowable. The future. We do it every single day. I do it. Everybody does it. I talk to you about statistics all the time. All the time. Well, the average bear market is about 33%. Well, what does that have to do with anything? It's 50% sometimes. It's 21% others. Does that tell you what it's going to be this time? The average price to earnings ratio for the market for the last 100 years is 16.5. That happens to be a statistical truth. I'm not kidding. I actually know that to be true. So do we take that line, for example, and say, well, if we have an earnings recession of, say, 10%, so earnings are down 10% from here, of course, well, okay, time out. Let's talk about what's impossible. Knowing where interest rates are going to be 6 months from now. You say, come on, that's a pretty simple thing. They're going to be higher. Economists over the last 25 years have gotten that wrong more than a coin flip would be. Up or down? Look at the data. Okay, let me get back to you. Let me study the data. That's what I do. I am an economist. I forecast the future. But you only have to do one thing, just interest rates. That's all. Don't tell us what GDP growth will be, corporate profits, none of that. Just that. Wrong more than half the time. Remarkable. Truly remarkable. But we all want to know what Wall Street analysts are saying all the time. Right? And there's what they're saying about earnings. What do you think the earnings projections will be? Well, our folks here at Goldman Sachs, we think... I'm not putting down Goldman Sachs. It doesn't matter. You go across the street to J.P. Morgan. Go across the street to Morgan Stanley. Go across the street. You get it. Okay? You go to see all the analysts. Well, our numbers are $200 on the S&P 500. Okay, groovy. Are they right? No. But let's pretend they're right. Well, that would be helpful because if we knew the future of earnings... then we would simply then go to multiply it by 16.5, and that'd be the average. And if it was market was higher than that, we'd know to sell it. And if it was lower, we'd be like, oh, pile in, man. They've overly discounted it. The trouble in the world. And what you find when you kind of take a step back and you look at the chart, okay, 16.5, I now have data. So approximately over the last 25 years, that has been at 16.5 for 7 days in 25 years. You see, it's always above or below, and very often, very, very substantially. It's not an indicator of anything, truly. But what we want to try to do, and this is where the psychological part enters in, it does for me, it does for you, it does for everybody. And the only humility you can have is, I don't know. Because what we end up with is the circumstances I have got. I am so smart with Wall Street data. I'm a market historian. I love it. I know what the worst year was and the percentage of that year, the best year, all those stuff, right? Like, that's going to tell me what next year is. It isn't. Obviously, it's important to know. If you don't know those things, it's like you can't learn. Those are all important data points. What is the average PE? So you can look at it. But when you look at things, you also have to look at it through the lens of, are things different? And, oh, I get it. the four worst words on Wall Street, according to John Templeton, are this time it's different. You know what else he said? My mentor, John Templeton, also said this, and he wasn't crazy. It's always different. Wow. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to hold two thoughts or like, don't ever think this time it's different. You always have to think it's always different. Huh? That's absolutely, yes, but they are truly tied together. They're opposites, but true. The world is different than it was 50 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Interest rates are different. People are different. The circumstances that move stocks, stock earnings are reported differently. All of those things are, in fact, different. Different companies with different margins. Everything's digital now. Would you rather own a chemical company or Google? I mean, the right price on the chemical company makes it a great bargain, but you know what I'm saying. Would I rather say, would you like to subscribe to this? Okay, yes, okay. $59.99, bink, I pushed a button. How much did that cost the company to push the button and have a new subscriber? I know, zero. The margins are exponential. We all know that things are changing. So do you measure the market the same way? Do you measure companies the same way? Of course not. Cash flows. What if we don't have giant factories of depreciating stuff? Do you value Micron that has billions of dollars worth of depreciating stuff? I mean, absolutely depreciating to zero. They need new equipment all the time. Do you value that the same as Google? No, nobody would. They don't have vast amounts of depreciating assets that they must replace with billions every year. It doesn't make Micron a bad investment, but we look at it differently. So when we think of how many things have changed in the world, but we're looking at 100-year averages, we have to start thinking about it. You got to know what those averages are. But what I hear so often today, passed as, wow, this guy's so smart. I think I can probably make you think I'm really smart with a whole bunch of data that won't tell you one simple thing about where the market's going. Oh, yeah, I know, but it's going to get worse. Got it. That's the drumbeat. That's our emotions. I feel it exactly the same. But you know what? One day it won't be true and you'll feel exactly the same way. Just like you did in June. It can't get any better. And then it did. The market exploded higher. Exploded higher. Oh, yeah, we went back to those lows again. You were right. We did. But you didn't, your feelings didn't change like things weren't as bad in June, did they? We just exploded higher. We see it all the time. And I'm not saying or here to make the case that the market is on great footing. I'm not. I'm here to make the case that data is important, but data is overspoken. I read it all the time. A Wall Street Journal article this morning, right? Reading about the average market declines. Well, on the average, you know, the bigger stocks are kind of at the back end of the bear market. Okay. Sounds reasonable. Is it? Is that what's going to happen this time? Is that what happened every time? See, there's only certain things that we know are certain to occur, right? And they're not even certain to occur because you just don't know. But in 300 years of market history, 300 years, if you don't think we're going back to all-time highs, that's a big bet. Because you know why? It's never happened. We always have gone back to all-time highs. Always. And that's a data point that we don't talk enough about, is it? So where do you think the market's going? Back to all-time highs. Well, but like, you're a clown. You like this year? Don't know. I don't know. That's all you got. Well, I can rattle off a lot of data. The P/E ratio of the stock market right now is about 13.5 on anticipated earnings next year, which is below the average of 16.5. But in fact, most people think that we're going to have a recession. And if we take 10% off of earnings, well, I don't know how big the recession would be. So it puts us right about where we ought to be. Except interest rates are higher now than they were a year ago. And therefore, the discounting mechanism of the market, which takes into account interest rates, future earnings, is really whacked right now. And trying to figure out what 4% means to 1%. And so we have a really difficult circumstance right now. Now, doesn't that sound like it's really, I know what the heck I'm talking about? But no, I don't. But the important thing, I don't know the future. I don't know when any of that's going to happen. I don't know if it's 10%. Is it 5? Do we grow by 10 and surprise everybody? I don't know. And here's the secret. Neither does Wall Street. Neither does that clown that you read on the internet. Neither does, you know, what is it? Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Oh, my gosh, is this guy? Oh, yeah. It's not a reason to hide into an annuity. Although I got to tell you, there's some really incredible things out there in structured notes that are unbelievable. Guarantee the downside, actually give you a multiple on the upside. It's crazy. Why? Because we're in a volatile environment. And everybody's, I don't think I ought to do anything. Which creates volatility, which creates fear, which creates amazing bargains. It's stunning how big the bargains are. I've never seen anything like this because of the volatility. Never seen anything like this. And that's not quite true. Because if you reach into 2020 during the pandemic, when you had the peak of uncertainty, nobody knew what was going to happen. I mean, there's a virus going all over the place and nobody knows. Everybody's in their basements, right? And nobody knows what's going to happen. There was probably a couple days in there that are like this now, where there are certain things out there that are just like, wow, these things are crazy, crazy, crazy. Hey, Bo, let's go ahead and take this to the top of the hour. Why don't you tell me when I got to get out of here, okay? You can type it on the screen, okay? So we're just going to put our commercial break. That's our heavy-duty internal technical talk here. So I just got to continue this thought. So we're dealing with all of this, not misinformation. It's good information, great information. But we don't have the context to put it in. So if you just simply said something like, well, the reason that gold... And I talked about this with Kevin. The reason that gold isn't doing very well right now is the strength of the dollar. And, you know, you go into the currency fluctuations and things like this, right? Okay, I got to go to a break right now. I'm going to continue this the next hour. Bo's telling me it's now. So it is now. And thank you. Please join us in hour two of Money Matters. We'll continue this discussion. Well, that goes to show you how a non-professional me can screw up. Anyway, we are here for about 1 minute. I'm going to give it over to Jim because I've got a pretty long monologue in the next hour. Jim, you got a minute,
Dave,
buddy.
How's it going?
Good, good.
Yeah, I just wanted to make one point. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about the all-time highs, but when you take into consideration the decrease in the value of the dollar, you know, I mean, if you say it went from 20,000 to 35,000, that's not quite as impressive when you take in the decrease of the value of the dollar.
Well, it's true, but it's still a fact that we're going to all-time highs, even inflation-adjusted, and that's the key, right? I agree with you. There's no doubt.
It's not as impressive there, you know.
Well, the numbers are not as impressive, however. You're right. But 7% after inflation is a pretty good rate of return, and that's what the market's averaged for 300 years. That's not bad.
Yep. That's just what I want to say.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for the heads up. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. You hear the music. We're ready to roll. I've got a lot of stuff coming up. I do. I've got a lot of data, hard data, okay? Now, it's not to make us all smarter. It's to understand that, really, we don't know the future. We don't. And to focus on the very, very long. I heard a great statement, all right? And that is, don't use a microscope when you're looking at the market. Use a telescope. Think long. Think long. All right. We're out of here. We'll talk to you right after Fox News, top of the hour. Hour two coming up. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell. We're not going to do that. Makes no sense. It's noise, and you don't need more noise about the market. You don't need more noise. There's so much noise. You know, it's one of those things I talk about all these studies, like the fidelity study that shows that the top performing people, you know, like the men, women, highly educated, high school education only, all that stuff, just slice and dice all of these people out, ages, all that, you know, you get super wise as you get older, right? Well, not necessarily. Fidelity found that there was no difference, basically, between groups, except for one. One group of people outperformed all of the others, and all the, everything else was bunched. Men and women, they invest the same. They're same emotions, blah, blah, blah. They may look different. They may sound different. They're the same. Young people, old, same. Performance numbers were the same, except for one group. The people that forgot they had an investment or died. Which kind of goes hand in hand, right? You don't know you had an investment if you're dead. And it just was there, and they didn't know. Their performance was way better. So we have a lot of noise today to make things what? Noisier and worse. Now, I personally think, sincerely, that people are getting smarter. I really do. I think that through the noise, people are now going, that is completely irrelevant. Blah, 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 and they're turning it off. I really think they are. Now, I totally get. We all have this bias. We tune in, dial in, and have multiple frequencies, okay, for what we already believe in, and I just want more data to prove I'm right. We all have this propensity to become dumber. We do. We think it's becoming smarter because we're getting more data of something that all we already agree with. In other words, we are completely tuned out to any data that disagrees with what I already believe. I would call that the definition of dumbing down. And we all do it. Let's admit it. I think we just have to work on it. But when it comes to all this noise in the markets, do you think that CNBC has watched more when markets are down or less? Yeah, you got it. By multiples. Do you think they get more hyperventilating about down markets? They do. Because you'll watch. How many people are riveted by the hurricane, the disaster? How many people are riveted by the Dow Jones Industrials drop? How many people are riveted when the market's just kind of cruising along? You want to watch a movie, honey? Yeah, let's do that. It's human nature. And this is a battle of human nature to dial back the noise. It's not Pollyannish to say, all my life, we've now had like 20 bear markets and 19 bull markets. The bull markets are up on average 75%. The bear markets are down 27%. That's a fact. Also a fact is that the market is barely up more than down on a day-to-day basis. That's a fact. It's the Dow's positive 52% of the time. That's it. It's a fact that the market has gone up 10% for my kid's life, my dad's life, my grandpa's life, my great-grandpa's life. It's 10. Over long periods of time, it averages 10. And on a year-to-year basis, we've talked about this a lot, it's never even close to 10. I shouldn't say never. Sorry. 19 out of 20 times, it's not even close. 8 to 12% as a slot. 10 being right in the middle if you didn't know the math. Okay, 10 is where it sits. That's the average. That's where our fixation is. That's the steady linear line we draw in our brain. It's not what the market does. Over the past 100 years, 6 years, 6% of the time, has it been anywhere between 8 and 12? Twice at exactly 12. Incredible, isn't it? That's a 4 percentage point right square around. The long-term average, the market is almost never there. Where it is in the extremes. And this is where we get whacked out. The market goes down sometimes, like now, but not very often. Interesting, isn't it? Not very often does the market go down. And certainly not to bear market territory. Not very often. Just not very often. But what blows people away is that the most frequent amount of years is over 20%. It just goes up 20% plus a lot. Way more than like 12% to 20%, which is a good year. Way more, as I pointed out, from 8 to 12, and way more than 0 to 8. And way more than any of the down years. Markets don't do normal, and it throws off the human psyche who's trying to measure with data and listen to really smart Wall Street people talk about data. Well, the average P/E ratio over the last, you know, gazillion years is 16.5. Okay. And so 7 days over the last 25 years, which is true, 7 days, we've actually been on that average. It's always above, sometimes way above, and below and way below that number. So when people talk about stocks are still overvalued because it's, you know, it's 16 times and we're going to have a recession and earnings are going to go down at least 10% over the next year. Okay. All of that is prediction. All of that will be wrong to some degree. Much of it will be wrong by a lot, making all of the analysis completely worthless. But that's what Wall Street does. That's what we do as human beings. Well, you can't get any better. I get that. It's a peak of pessimism. Okay. So when we look at it also, and I've talked about this a lot, so consumer confidence in the stock market. Now, I don't want to, again, throw data out that I'm like, now on one hand, here's my data, and I'm going to diss everything else. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not. I'm saying when we have consumer confidence at all-time lows, and we do. Or you might argue, well, it bounced a little bit in July. That is a true statement. It did. We're right at the all-time low, which was set in June of this year. We're right at it. When we have the bottom, and this might not be the bottom in consumer confidence, that's the point. You don't know. But you will not believe how wrong our feelings are about the future direction of the stock market. Consumer confidence is how we feel. How do you feel about the economy? Oh, yeah. Are you going to spend any money? How do you feel? And they have this. It's called the Michigan Survey of Consumer Confidence. How do you feel about it? That's where we are. The lowest ever. So they started measuring this, I believe, in somewhere around, you know, 1970, 71. That's the first time they started measuring consumer confidence. And when we have really confident, like, man, the economy's roaring, we're going to kick tail, take names. I can't believe I got so much job prospects. It's amazing. Yes, we're spending money like drunken sailors. That's what we're doing. The market doesn't do very good for the next 12 months. Now, there are times. There are times, like when we had the pandemic, people were feeling pretty good in February of 2020. They were really feeling pretty good. And then we collapsed. Who would have thought this, right? So that 12 months later, the market was up 31%. But most of the time, it's underwater or barely up. But when we have, what's universal, is when we have this type of pessimism, 12 months later, the market's up a lot. Does that mean this will happen? Absolutely not. What it means is conditions that are ripe for surprise recoveries are beginning to get into place. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is how you have to understand history, data, and extrapolate that, not into precise projections, or even listen to precise projections, but to start to put together the puzzle. Is this kind of what it looks like at the peak of pessimism, where market returns on average are unbelievably high coming out of them? Yeah, that's one of the aspects as we put the puzzle together. that consumer confidence is terrible. Everybody feels terrible. And is that measurable? Yeah, to a degree it is. Yeah, it is. They in surveys and then actual spending, we can look at all the data and housing and all those things, right? Are people going to the store? What about shipping? It's down. Oh, God, it's down a lot. FedEx, what about that? The global recession that's clearly coming. Or is it here? I don't know. But it's here. And it's bad. And we're in that period. So we start putting the puzzles together. Does that mean we should then start saying, you know what? I project a 25.3% return based on earnings and a 16.5% PE ratio that is in the market. No, you should not. But what you should be doing is buying the great corporations of the world at incredible discounts in spite of how you feel. That's what that means. Trying to pick the bottom, you're dead. You won't. Can't. Nobody has. Get over yourself. So as we go through this and we think of all the things, and that's why the data is important. So it helps us understand the gravitational pull to 10%. But it doesn't feel like that. I know it doesn't feel like that right now. But it also doesn't feel like 15% a year like we got up through 2020. For years we had that. Was it a straight line? No. And every time I went down, yeah, see, I told you so. And there's always this wall of worry out there, and they hype it, of course. And if you owned Apple since it came out with the iPhone, you have a 40-fold increase. But only if you own it, if you trade it, because the iPhone 5 isn't as good as a 4, and Samsung's going to kick their tail, and all there really are is a hardware company, and it goes on and on and on and on. You don't own it. And you made a little tiny bit of money, and then you trade it, and then you have made a bad decision on something else, like, you know, GameStop, and then you're out. It doesn't work that way. You need to own it, and that means you own it also through the downturns, because you can't guess. Well, this seemed really obvious. So did the last one, and last one, when we all look back, there it is. You see it. So how'd it go since it was so obvious in 2020 when it went up 20-some percent, and you sat on the sidelines earning zero? Well, I got it over and shifted into bonds. Great. For the first time ever, bonds are down the maximum amount. They're the worst bond market we've ever had. Everything's down. Well, I got it in Bitcoin. Groovy. Nice pick. How about NFTs? What about gold? All these things pull us away when we're thinking in the short term with a microscope. Instead of thinking of the vastness, I mean, our life is a speck of time in human history. My gosh, I'm listening to, his name's Dan Carlin, I'm listening to this incredible history podcast. I mean, what an incredible historian he is. Storyteller, really, is what he is. And talking about slavery. And I'm just sitting here thinking, we're talking about ancient Egypt. We're talking about Indians, Native Indians. It was everywhere always until like recent history, but we live here and now. And of course, we've all decided it's up to me to, you know, save the planet. All those things that we rationalize as how important our own lives are in this vastness of history. And I can't help but sitting back thinking, how many generations since, you know, ancient Egyptian times. I mean, it's just, wow. It's mind-boggling. So I know we're talking about very little data, actually, over my lifetime, over the last 50 years, et cetera. But having some things to hang a hat on and then start building the mosaic of why should I be investing when we are in a situation that markets hate uncertainty. They do hate uncertainty. Markets can deal with difficulty, but not uncertainty. It's very uncertain. What about, I'm just going to call it geopolitical. I don't need to rail through all of the things going on around the world. All of the bad decisions made by this administration, it's beyond comprehension. You couldn't write down worse things to do. From, I think they called it Build Back Better, being stopped. Thank God. But the $2 trillion they did get was too much. ignited inflation, and it even ignited inflation globally. A Federal Reserve that's so bad that they now have to go in and destroy the economy in order to bring demand down because they expanded the balance sheet, and even when they knew inflation was here, they kept expanding it. And nobody will ask them that question. I've never heard it asked once. Why? After you knew inflation was still here, did you keep expanding the money supply? Why? That sounds insane.
Well, we wanted to help Joe get Build Back Better through.
Why? I thought you were not political. It's all upside down. The world's upside down, creating incredible uncertainty. But you say, well, that's Wall Street's different than my own feelings about politics and stuff. I agree with that. Like, you can't believe I agree with it. Okay? That I agree with. Don't bring your politics into your investment decisions. But you're telling me that Wall Street isn't sitting back going, my gosh, we have a Federal Reserve that's going to crush this because they blew it. Do I trust them? No. They've acted politically and stupidly. Which one? I'm completely incompetent or I'm completely political? Which one's better? Neither. Bad decisions. And then we get over here and we're going like, consumers are, nobody's happy about anything. No, they're not. Whether you're a Democrat or not, you don't think the country's on the right path. Polls show overwhelmingly. I have no idea who the 30% that think Joe's doing a good job are. I think that Satan is a vote for them. I mean, seriously, absolutely, because there's no way anybody thinks Joe's doing a good job. That's not a political statement. That's a fact. And we go on and on. There's no real inflation. There's no drilling for energy. There's no real leadership anywhere in the world. It's tough. I get it. But we always win. And that's the hard part. And that's where we come out. We have to look at the data that says this. Simply, easily. At some point, some of the uncertainty, something will change. It won't make it not difficult. It will still be hard. Data might even show higher unemployment. It might show lower earnings. It might show anything out there. But when markets change from uncertainty to knowing what the difficulty is, it can deal with it and it rallies hard on bad news. It's stunning to people, but it happens every single time. Every time. And that is why markets always go to all-time highs. And betting that it won't, it seems like a pretty big bet with 300 years of history. That's really the point of grabbing the data, understanding some of it, and building the picture. Not trying to be precise is really important. All right, I got to take a break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And I got to tell you, I'm somehow locked out of my email, and so I can't answer you today. But please, if you have any other questions ongoing, it's dave@petsofinancial.com. It's petsofinancial.net, sorry. It's petsofinancial.com for all of the other stuff that we talk about all the time, podcasts, YouTube, videos, all those things. All right, we're out of here. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO is our phone number. If you want to have a comment, a question, we'd love to hear from you. Whew. That was a monologue, huh? I know. Had to take a deep breath after that and try to dial back just a hair. But I got to tell you, when you get into these periods of time, I use some of these charts that I kind of keep around, and I reflect on John Templeton and Peter Lynch and Michael Price and the things that they say. You know, if you will, wisdom of great investors. I try to stop myself and reflect on it instead of staring at the screen, you know. And why? Because I think it's important to get perspective. And so as I'm talking and thinking about this, I'm actually just, a lot of it is I'm thinking out loud too. I really am. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking with my team all the time about this, right? It's like, no, I don't think it's going to get any better. Like, well, Dave, but I have no reason to. I also have no reason to think it's going to get any worse, right? It's not doom and gloom to admit that you look around and go, we're going the wrong way everywhere you look. Progressive wokeness is a serious illness in this world. It really is. And I know that sounds like a political statement, but this is really crushing. It crushes us in education of learning the right things. And I don't mean like you can't teach that there's something there, but to sit there and go, oh, I don't think we can admit that men don't have babies. I mean, this is insane and confusing. And talking to five-year-olds about gender identity, I would think that's child abuse. I don't even know how to say that that's normal. You don't teach children algebra. You don't teach five-year-olds algebra because they don't understand. You don't teach them about gender identity because they don't understand. Until you have hormones and stuff, how would you understand? You don't. You're just a boy and a girl. That's it. And we've lost all of this. And now we're talking about corporate wokeness, and it just the list goes on and on and on of all of the weirdness going on out there, not just in that. But then we have all of these things that we're rushing to do, like just spend trillions of dollars, and we're just going, and the markets are supposed to deal with that hell. It's a horrifying situation. Lack of confidence. And markets, as I said before, hate uncertainty. But at some point, as you put pieces together and not try to be exact, not try to be, this is the bottom for sure, you don't know. You scale in as it goes. You keep buying in your 401k. If you did have any cash, you put it to work. Quit worrying about the next 10% down. You really think you got it? Like, you are going to step in at the exact right moment? Understand, you're going to write a check and you're going to feel like an idiot in a week. That's the way it is. It's just the way it is. Get over it. We have to. And when we think about this from an income perspective, I think that's the other thing that I kind of draw on when I'm thinking about this, right? So we're down a ton, and it's like the worst for first three quarters, and it doesn't look good for the next quarter because that's what happens like five times in all of history. For gosh sakes, we don't have enough data points to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I should say Monday. Nobody does. Nobody does. But there's such great certainty when you take out a bunch of charts and then you chop off this piece and that piece. It's like talking to somebody about the climate, okay? Let me give a quick analogy. Did you know that far less forest land burns up every year than it did 100 years ago? No, of course you didn't know that. Because the only thing you know is what's being fed to you, which is forest fires are up a lot because of what? Of course, climate change. It's an unbelievable. And drought. And it's unbelievable amounts of forest land are being burned up every year. More. So much more than 10 and 20 years ago. Well, it's a little bit more than 10 and 20 years ago. It's the same as it was 40 years ago. It's unbelievably less. About 20% of, meaning down 75% or 80% of what it was in the 1920s. Oh, yeah, because you're only here for a speck of time. We don't have that perspective. Nobody will talk about it. Same with hurricanes, by the way. They were much worse in the 1920s, back before automobiles destroyed the planet. I don't get it why we can't talk about these things. It's all backwards and upside down, creates more uncertainty, and the markets can't deal with uncertainty. It can deal with difficulty. At some point, some of these data points will change. Do I have my eyes on the November elections? Of course. That tells me whether Americans get it, that this can't keep going. That the person who's running from Joe is the same person that voted for everything that Joe put out. I think they're going to get it. And I think we're going to be able to have some sensibility. Do I think the Republicans have a bunch of great ideas? No. I don't, but they're way better than this batch. And I think that's an important, quotes, data point. I think that will add more certainty, difficulty, but certainty to the market. Do I think something at some point in time will happen in the Ukraine? I do. Will it be difficult? Absolutely, it's going to be difficult. But we will get rid of the uncertainty of that. All of these things. What happens with inflation? How high interest rates go? There will become less uncertainty. We will have more difficulty, and the markets will deal with that. They will rally even as the data is bad. Because that's what always happens. We can deal with bad. We hate uncertainty. We do that in our own lives too. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We got to take a break for Fox News. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Love to hear from you, by the way. If you want to give us a call, we've got plenty of time left in today's programs. Program. Don't know why I added that S. I don't know. Sometimes things happen in your brain that you just cannot explain. I want to talk a little bit in this segment, unless you want to talk about something else. But I want to talk about what is really, if you will, driving. I've said it. It's the uncertainty of this market, right? But underneath it, too, when you kind of parse through a lot of this noise. And why did the market rally so hard in the summer if all of this was still so uncertain? And it was. And then it turned around. You might say, well, the Federal Reserve came in and was very, very negative about things and wanted to tamp it down. Well, that's true. But here's what we often do. And we take a lot of that. We talk about this dot plot thing. Okay, the Fed thinks this and this and this, and they draw it out over the next little bit. This is where we think interest rates will be over the next year. I've said this many, many times, and actually ran across the chart just a second ago. Funny, but I did. And I just ran across that chart that shows over a 25-year span that over 60% of the time, over a six-month period, average Wall Street forecast is wrong about interest rates. Seriously. It's like one simple thing. And the Fed's out there saying, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Okay? You'd think you could get that one right like most of the time. Of course, there's going to be some surprises. But 60% of the time wrong? That's a lot of surprises. That's a lot of surprises. So the Fed is telling us that they're going to raise interest rates to here, and then they're going to go, and they, oops, we changed our mind. This is the Fed that suddenly has gotten super aggressive. But they all they do is study the money. And then we wait for... They're having a luncheon with one of the Fed governors. I wonder what they're going to say about interest rates. What are they predicting for a year from now when they're never right? And that's not really with a driver in the market, is it? Because they're never right. Markets are smarter than that. But when you've got black boxes that do 80% of the trades and they set their algorithms for a breath, a word from a Fed governor, interest rates up or down, boom, and in less than a second, off it goes to sell or buy futures contracts in X amount, and then it'll exit it maybe in seconds later, maybe not. Maybe it keeps it for a little bit. I don't know. But there are all these algorithms that are set for an interest rate, for oil prices, all of these things that are in there. And they're just programmed in, and then the computers go. 80% of the daily trading. So when we're saying, wow, the market's down for fill in the blank, you don't really know that to have any truth at all. And it doesn't make this any easier, I think, if we sit around and try to divine what the Fed is trying to tell us. What the Fed's going to do with interest rates. That's one aspect of everything. Because we often forget some of the basic things like corporate balance sheets have never been stronger. Dividends paid by American companies, global companies for that matter, have never been higher. Earnings have never been higher. Maybe they're going to go down 10%. I don't know. But nobody's seeing a corporations will never make money again. At least certainly not this year. No money will be made. No, nobody says that, thinks that. It's never happened. During the Great Depression, it might have. I don't know. But that's not what people are looking for. Oh, yes. Well, I saw this on the internet. Some guy is predicting that. Of course they are. So buy gold. Hide. Nuclear winter's coming. What was the news just a second ago? Some guy saying Putin ought to use a tactical, short-range, whatever, nuclear weapon. Boom. One guy. That mean we're closer to nuclear war? I doubt it, but it's news. It's news. Could it happen? Yeah. My whole life. Elementary school. Head under the desk. Nuclear annihilation because we had special desks where the nuclear blast would bounce off of them. It's just the way the world was. I don't know. Because nobody knows the future. We all hate uncertainty in every aspect of our life, but none of us has any certainty really in our life. We really don't. You don't know when you're going to be taken out of here. You don't know when you're going to get that bad diagnosis. Things that actually matter in life, not just the markets. Don't know when that's going to happen to your spouse. Your kids. And sitting around predicting stuff like this, like what the market's going to do, is what people do when they're scared. But what do you think? I mean, sometimes you get like, but what do you really think? I think I don't know. I really think that. But here's what I think. I think that since the market's gone to all-time highs every time, for 300 years, I think it will again. So when I have an opportunity to buy the great corporations of the world that have the strongest balance sheets ever, the highest cash flows ever, at 30% off, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'll do that. Knowing that it could go lower, but ultimately we're going to go to all-time highs again because we always have. And I don't have to figure it out because I can't and no one can. And trying to zig and zag will drive you to an ulcer. You see, I'm going to save this. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to save this last little bit because, yeah, it's a little longer than just saying, truly, this is a burden. It is. I feel it too. Times 2,000. Okay? I feel it too. We all do. Let's take a quick break, and we'll wrap it up together after this break. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us as we wrap up today. If you have any comments or questions, hey, shoot those over to petsofinancial.com. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm sorry if you did shoot us an email today. My email, I can't get into it, so I'm stuck until smarter people than I can fix it. So anyway, I just couldn't get them today. We'll get them over the hopefully back over the weekend and undoubtedly by Monday. So we'll try to answer it if you had a question. But if you want anything, you want to have a podcast, they're available there. They're at the Apple Store. We also have, and in fact, I wanted to share this. I thought it was a very interesting tidbit to those of you out there that maybe are listening far, far away. We know that actually on the other side of the world, people are listening to this on a podcast later on. We have 40,000 downloads now of our podcast. So there's a lot of people out there. And if you miss something and you want to catch it, go grab it. It's out there. And that's, of course, at the Apple Store, Podbeam, through our website, however you want it. We also do our YouTube off of our Zoom meetings. So, and we're going to have one next week, as a matter of fact. That's at Petso Financial YouTube. All right. I want to wrap this up because this is I want you to understand this is something that I think about a lot on a personal level as well. And it's not a woe is me thing. This is what I live for, okay, these tough times. This is my purpose in life. When it's easy, it's cruising time, and that's great. And that's what we feel, okay? That's what we feel at our office. is these tough times. And when you cruise, and everybody's happy, and that's great. But there isn't really any purpose in life when it's just, or any learning going on, any need for us to reassure when we're cruising along making 15% a year. There's just, it's not driving your life purpose. And so we feel that. I'm not here to act like a Pollyanna and say everything's fine. Sometimes are you actually listening? Honestly, I have people that's like, well, you're always like this. Like, you don't understand how bad it is here. Yeah, I do. I totally own it, feel it, times 2,000. Times I have to lead my group of people who lead their group of people. And you don't lead it with false encouragement. You don't lead it with Pollyannish thinking. You lead it with deep, thoughtful ideas. We all feel this. I've said this for a long time. The world is upside down. It makes no sense. We talk about teaching six-year-olds about gender identity. We don't talk about economics, capitalism, and science and math in high school anymore, or very little. Our test scores are lower than they were a zillion years ago. Tell me anything in the world that isn't better than it was 50 years ago. I'm not talking about social issues. I'm talking about stuff. We learn better. We have better tools, and yet we are dumber. It's backwards. It's upside down. Everything's political. When did the Justice Department become this corrupt wing? I don't know. I wanted to be an FBI agent because I thought they were the Boy Scouts. I really did. It's weird. It's upside down. But it won't always be that way. I feel that. And markets hate uncertainty. You hate it. I hate it. So the bottom line is this. We plan for this stuff. And that's what I go back to. I didn't sign up to do this for the last 40 years, knowing that every year was going to be a 10% return on the S&P 500. We knew that. We knew last year and the year before and the year before that, that were amazing years, that bad stuff would happen sometime. And people that need income are going to need it when things are down. You better plan for that when times are good. So you do. Now, the optics of it is only that the market is going down, that your prices are going down. But I'm going to share one quick data point with you. I've shared it a million times. It really is the core of, if you can believe this, it's true that the income from the S&P 500, from your stock portfolio, is higher than it was 12 months ago. The income is higher than it was 12 months ago. But you don't care because all you care is that the price is down 20% from a year ago. But if you are 70 years old, I can't take this, it's not going to come back enough, da, da, da. What are you doing? I am drawing income for life, cost of living adjusted, that I can't outlive. Then what you're telling me is the fact that you have a cost of living adjusted income increase from 12 months ago, and that makes you very, very unhappy. Well, no, but I don't have time. If we look back over your entire life, the increase is 9% per year. Nothing else has come close on income. I didn't say the price. On income. Of the great corporations of the world. But what I want to do is I want to run around with my hair on fire. That's what I want to do. I know you don't. I don't either. We feel that. We feel the uncertainty. We feel the lack of leadership. We feel the lack of confidence anywhere in anything. We feel the lack of morals. We feel all of that. Everybody does. It isn't going away tomorrow. But I gotta believe we're better than this. I don't have to believe in a perfect future. I got to believe in a future. Because that's what markets do. They digest nonsense and uncertainty, become more certain with difficulty, and go to all-time highs. You just have to plan for these times. We all feel it. We all do. I do hope you have a great weekend, and thanks for tuning in.